Hi, everybody. I think we had the youngest musician we've ever had at SVC, I think. On drums, Micah, big hand. We had two drummers, one the youngest we've ever had and one the oldest we've ever had. I've retired now as bass player, so I can say that about Phil. But that was great, I love it. Thanks, Micah. Thanks. It must have been awesome. And it must have been frightening as well. But we do sing, don't we? Our God reigns. And do we believe that? Yeah. And we're going to study again a man who certainly came to believe that, a man called Habakkuk. So if you want to turn in your Bibles to Habakkuk, don't forget the little tip I gave you about the index. And then it's easy to find chapter 3. We're looking at verses 1 to 16. And the title is, I'll Praise God No Matter What. I'm struggling a bit today. I'm deaf, so I can't hear what I'm saying. So if I say anything silly, come and correct me. But I'm deaf, so I won't hear it anyway. So you can barrack me, you can do whatever you like. So Habakkuk chapter 3, verses 1 to 16. And just a quick review, because it is a story that goes through the book. I would suggest, if you've not seen some of the sermons we've done in the series, have a look on the podcast and just catch up to date. But basically today, chapter 3, the conversation Habakkuk's having with God is similar to what he's had up to now. Except one thing's changed, and that's his attitude. His argumentative tone is not there anymore. He started to believe, yeah, my God reigns. Oh, he still struggled with it, and we do, mustn't we? We must struggle to sing my God reigns, because to our worldly eyes, it doesn't seem that way at times. And this is the turning point in the book, chapter 3. This is where Habakkuk all comes good. And just as an aside, I was reading chapter 3, and I was reading all of it actually, the bit that Trevor's doing, and it just struck me, that this might sound daft, but it just struck me, one day, I'll see Habakkuk. No, I know that seems all, what's he on about? But it just came to me, and I'll be able to say to him, that was a great prophecy you gave Habakkuk. And he'll put his arms around me and say, thank you. You know, isn't that wonderful, that promise we have that this guy, Habakkuk, we can hardly pronounce his name before we did this series. We certainly didn't know where his prophecy was, did we, folks? It just came to me now. Okay, call me silly, but I believe that was a prompting of the Holy Spirit. Okay, let's look at our passage, verse 1. So we're working through chapter 3, verses 1 to 16. A prayer of Habakkuk the prophet according to Shigionoth. Well, first of all, it's a prayer. That's pretty obvious. What's this Shigionoth thing? Well, it's thought to be a musical instrument. So actually, this is a prayer that was sung. This was a worship experience. The last verse actually says, to the choir master. So this is a prayer that was set to music. So it's a worship song in a way. And it's a classic example, we'll read a bit in a bit, of our attitude to prayer. And it goes, basically, we get from Habakkuk, God, I don't understand everything. You know, I don't understand why you let Judah sink in this moral and religious decline. Why didn't you send a revival? I don't understand why you're bringing the Babylonians to destroy us. They're more evil than we are. What are you playing at, God? I don't understand why you're going to destroy the Babylonians after a bit. Why don't you just get rid of them now? They're no better than Wiganers. Nope, sorry. Oh dear. Yeah. I don't understand any of these things. This is Habakkuk. But this I do know. My God is omniscient, omnipotent, and omnipresent. Hallelujah. I'm saying that not to show off, well, just a bit, yeah. But you see these words sometimes in books and you might think, what on earth does that mean? It basically means that God is all-knowing, he's omniscient, he knows everything, he's all-powerful, he has power over absolutely everything, nothing happens that's not, outside of his power. He's omnipotent and he's omnipresent. He's everywhere. So Habakkuk says, I know that. And I know my God is eternal. I know my God is righteous. I know my God never makes a mistake. I know my God never does anything wrong. And I know my God is a God of love and a God of justice. So I'll stand on that. Don't understand those other things, but I know a lot about God. I'll stand on that and I'll praise him no matter what. And that's a good place to start. And it's a classic example of what our prayers should be all about. And as we look through this book, we see four parts. Four main parts to any prayer session with God. Petition, that's asking God for something. Remembrance, remembering the great deeds that God's done. Confession, confessing your sins. And adoration, that's praise. Praising God for who he is and for what he's done. So let's look at the first one. It's petition. And it's a plea for God's mercy. Verse 2. O Lord, I have heard the report of you and your work. O Lord, do I fear? In the midst of the years, revive it. In the midst of the years, make it known. In wrath, remember mercy. It's a plea for God's mercy. Habakkuk knows all about the plans that God has for Judah. The destruction of Judah. He knows all about God's character. And he stands there and he proclaims, come on God, bring it on. I'm ready for it. Bring it on. I want your plans to be fulfilled in my life. Then he comes in. But I'm still a bit scared. Isn't he? I'm still a bit scared. Could you just remember a bit of mercy in your anger? Yeah. Isn't that a touching phrase? That touched me. That's typical of my kind of prayer. Full of guts. Yeah, come on, bring it on. But I'm afraid. Just like a little child talking to his father, isn't it? And this was Habakkuk's relationship. His desire was, of course, that things were done according to God's plan. Not peaceful, not easy, not happy. Just like God would have them happen. But he was scared. That lovely? And that must encourage us, yeah, doesn't it? He was terrified, in fact, if you look at the Greek word, the Hebrew word there. He was terrified, yeah, terrified. There will be things that we must go through that terrify us. Some of us are going through those things at the moment. First stage, be like Habakkuk. Admit it to God, I'm scared. He's your father. Tell him how you feel. This is what we should be doing in prayer, isn't it? Ask him to help. And when you arrive at that position in prayer, then you really have arrived. So moving on from petition, verses 3 to 15, remembrance. A review of God's power and faithfulness in the past. That's what Habakkuk's doing here. It's very symbolic language. A lot of it we probably won't understand very well. I'll summarise it after. But just soak in the power of God in this passage. It's symbolic, but just take in the power and his faithfulness. So that's verses 3 to 15. God came from Teman and the Holy One from Mount Paran. His splendour covered the heavens and the earth was full of his praise. His brightness was like the light rays flashed from his hand. And there he veiled his power. He veiled it. Kept it hidden a bit. Before him went pestilence and plague followed at his heels. He stood and measured the earth. He looked and shook the nations. The eternal mountains were scattered. The everlasting hills sank low. His were the everlasting ways. I saw the tents of Cushan. In affliction, the curtains of the land of Midian did tremble. Was your wrath against the rivers, O Lord? Was your anger against the rivers, or your indignation against the sea, when you rode on your horses, on your chariot of salvation? You stripped the sheath from the bow, calling for many arrows. You split the earth with rivers. The mountains saw you and writhed. The raging waters swept on. The deep gave forth its voice. It lifted its hands on a high. The sun and moon stood still in their place, at the light of your arrows as they sped, at the flash of your glittering spear. You marched through the earth in fury. You threshed the nations in anger. You went out for the salvation of your people, for the salvation of your anointed. You crushed the head of the house of the wicked, laying him bare through thick to thigh to neck. You pierced with his arrows the head of his warriors, who came like a whirlwind to scatter me, rejoicing as if to devour the poor in secret. You trampled the sea with your horses, the surging of mighty waters. What's all that about? Well, you can get some kind of fear from the power there of God. Well, Habakkuk's reminding himself, first of all, of the captivity in Egypt, how God provided a way of escape, the parting of the Red Sea, how God protected them as they escaped. We all remember that, how they parted the waters, they all got through, and the waters came back, and the Egyptians couldn't follow them. How they wandered on the in the wilderness, always God providing for them, even though they grumbled. Yeah, they wanted a Chinese takeaway, but they got manna instead. They were happy about it, but God provided, even though they kept moaning and groaning. How God had led them through to the land, to the promised land, the land he'd reserved for them. And, of course, God's power over all the universe. He reminds himself of the faithfulness and the power of God. You see, now he's standing on firm ground. I don't understand those other things, God, but I know a lot about you. I know a lot about your faithfulness. I know a lot about your power. And now we see the key of how to praise the Lord no matter what. We look back and start remembering God's power and his faithfulness. And history proved Habakkuk's trust in God's power and faithfulness were justified. Yeah, the Babylonians defeated Judah. Yes, they went into exile, but they weren't destroyed completely. In fact, some of the Jews came back to Judah and rebuilt the temple and restored the land. And today, there are Jews who believe in Jesus Christ as their Lord and Saviour. He was true to his promise. He kept them for his own people. And you know what? The Babylonians were destroyed. There aren't any of them left today. God is a powerful God. He's faithful. So what about us? What do we do when facing difficult situations? Well, you know, we have a better example, don't we, of God's power and God's faithfulness. A better example than Habakkuk had. Yeah, they only saw it dimly in the future, but we see it as a past event. We have all the New Testament writings to tell us about it. He was faithful to his chosen people. He sent his own son to die on a cross to save them. That's how faithful he was. He sent his own son to die on a cross. He displayed his power at the resurrection. This we'll all be celebrating this at Easter, when he raised Jesus from the dead. And you know, the New Testament promise for us is, I will never, what? Leave you or forsake you. That's his promise. That's his faithfulness. What a tremendous truth when we are facing difficult situations, just like Habakkuk was. Wouldn't have been easy knowing that your land would be defeated and you'd be ripped off to a foreign land. I was thinking about the people, probably the generation older than me, who remembered the threat of the Second World War, the fear they must have gone through, thinking that they might be conquered by Hitler. Tremendous truth when we're facing difficult times. You know, and this says to me, it's important that we know our Bibles. It's important that we have Bible knowledge. Habakkuk knew the Bible. He not only knew God. I'm not saying we don't need to know God. We need to have a relationship with God. We need to pray to God. We need more than that. We need a knowledge of God. There is a difference. And that's why one of the passages that keep cropping up, that Trevor first introduced us to right at the beginning of this year, 2 Peter 3:18, growing grace and knowledge of our Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ. Growing grace, yeah. Trevor explained that. But growing the knowledge of our Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ. So when the difficult times come, you can offer a prayer of remembrance. You will know exactly how faithful God is, how powerful he is, all those things that Habakkuk went through. And if we are to grow, which we're aiming to do as Christians this year, then we must be a people that can face life's difficulties, because we will get difficulties. There's nothing more certain. And we have to be people that can deal with those. Yeah, we'll be scared like Habakkuk. We'll be offering prayers. I'm scared. Yeah, that's natural. That's what we will. But we will be people who will be able to turn to a God who's all-powerful and all-faithful. And I was thinking that there is a movement that says, I think I've time for this, we've got the Holy Spirit now, so we don't need the Bible anymore. Have you heard that said? Don't it say in the Bible that the Holy Spirit will lead us into all truth? No, it doesn't. This is the big con. It does not. And if we turn to John 16, I'm talking about now somebody. Does God perform miracles? Yeah, God the Holy Spirit performs miracles. Does God the Holy Spirit heal? Yeah. Of course he does. We have an example of it. You know, he's a miraculous God. Does he give the gift of tongues anymore? Yeah, of course he does. He's given it to me. I'm not a person who doesn't accept these supernatural instances of God. But we also need to be studiers of God's word. So we just turn to John 16. And this is Jesus speaking to his disciples, to the apostles. I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. There was too much for them to take in before Jesus died. When the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all the truth. For he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will declare to you the things that are to come. But he was talking to his apostles. It wasn't directly talking to us, it was a promise to his apostles. And the apostles wrote the Bible under the influence of the Holy Spirit. So you're a Holy Spirit Christian if you believe the Bible should be studied and should be our rule for life. So, yeah, we need both, didn't we? I remember a book written by, I don't know, two people. One was a diehard theologian who didn't think the Holy Spirit did anything but save you. And the other was a ranting charismatic who never read his Bible in his life. And they actually came together and learned from each other. And they wrote a book called The Word and the Spirit. And you know, the raving Pentecostal charismatic wrote the Word section. And the diehard reformed theologian who didn't before that believe that the Spirit did anything but save us wrote the bit on the Spirit. Yeah, we need both. We need the Holy Spirit. We need to take part in what the Holy Spirit's doing. We need the gifts of the Holy Spirit. We need the Holy Spirit to bring healing, to bring miracles, all those things. But we need to be people who study God's Word because the Holy Spirit inspired it. We are Holy Spirit Christians when we're studying the Word because those words were left by the Holy Spirit, as promised by Jesus. So let's move on from remembrance to confession. And there we are on verse 16. I'll just read that. I hear and my body trembles. My lips quiver at the sound. Rottenness enters into my bones. My legs tremble beneath me. Yet I will quietly wait for the day of trouble to come upon people who invade us. I like that part. That's so human as well, isn't it? I feel a lot of comfort that knowing Habakkuk went through these periods of fear. And that is fear. He trusts God. He said, you know, I've heard all about what's going to happen to the Babylonians and what they'll do to us. I have no philosophical problem with that. I don't altogether understand, but I know enough to trust you fully. But again, he's scared, isn't he? As in verse 2, I'm scared. And he says, my body trembles. Yeah, anybody really scared? Have you been really, really scared? Doesn't your body tremble? Don't you get the shakes? Yeah, Habakkuk was there before you. My lips quiver. Do your teeth chatter? Is that when you call? But anyway, your lips quiver. I can't speak properly when I'm really scared. Yeah, there's no connection between my brain and my lips. They quiver somehow. So I can understand Habakkuk fully in this one. Rottenness enters my bones. That's not an aging thing. That is, if you've lived in fear, if you've lived in under depression and stress for any length of time, what happens? Physical problems start happening. Have you noticed? You start getting bodily pains and aches that you never had before. Habakkuk's been through it all. He said, rottenness enters my bones. I'm aching all over. Physically, I feel lousy. And my legs tremble. Our legs grow weak with the strain of fear. Yeah? I remember when I used to work before I started this church. Not that I don't work anymore, but you know what I mean. I used to work in Manchester. We're going one day. It was in the days when there wasn't a lot of traffic, but it was icy this day, and I was overtaking a lorry, and I noticed we were starting moving, not where I was directing the car. Realised I was skidding. I think we went round twice, then came out of the icy patch at a time when we shouldn't. Nearly turned over, just didn't, and I pulled over to the side, and I tried to get out of the car. You know, my legs wouldn't move. Yeah? My legs were trembling with fear. Habakkuk knew all about that. He was suffering this intense emotional stress. And he admitted it to God. He confessed it. That's what confession's all about. I shouldn't really be like this, God. I know I'm sinning in this fear, but that's how I am. I'm in fear. And yet, I will quietly wait for the day of trouble. That a great thing to say? Somebody who's going through all this fear, and yet, I will quietly wait for the day of trouble. So, summary so far. We've seen three elements up to now of prayer. Petition, that's asking God for things. Remembrance, bringing back memories or Bible readings or experiences of the Holy Spirit to do with the power and faithfulness of God. And confession, admitting that you've done things wrong, admitting that you're afraid to God. And the last element is adoration. That's swearing your love to God. Now I'm sneaking over into Trevor's passage. Hope you've not written your sermon yet. But just to round it off more than anything, and I'll just do that briefly. Verses 17 to 18. This is adoration. This is a great passage. Though the fig tree should not blossom, nor fruit be on the vines, the produce of the olive fail, and the fields yield no fruit, the flock be cut off from the field, and there be no herd in the stalls. What's he saying? There's a famine here. I'm going to die if something doesn't happen. There's no food, there's no drink, there's nothing. And he says in verse 18, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will take joy in the God of my salvation. That's an adoration, isn't it? That's, even if that happened, I would still love you, Lord. Even if all nature goes crazy, even if nothing's right in the whole world, even if I'm facing the greatest disaster, I'm going to love you and I'm going to rejoice in you no matter what. And you know, this is exactly what Paul says in the letter to Philippians. Try reading the letter of Philippians tonight. And remember, Paul is under house arrest. He can have visitors, but he's under house arrest, can't go anywhere. He knows that his time's up. He knows that he's soon going to be put to death. And what's the most occurring phrase in the book of Philippians? Rejoice in the Lord always. That's a commendation of love, isn't it? Rejoice in the Lord, he says. I'll say it again, rejoice in the Lord, no matter what. So, and finally, prayer is prayer, four parts: petition, remembrance, confession, and adoration. It's a good model for our prayer life. Yeah? Very stuck what to pray for. Go through those parts. Petition. What do you want from God? Remembrance, remembering from the Bible maybe is wonderful deeds of the past, particularly the cross. Confession, what you've done wrong. It might even be your fears. And adoration, how much you love him, how much you appreciate all the things that he's done for you. It's a good model for our prayer life. It's interesting, through studying this prayer, we can see how we can grow as Christians. I don't altogether understand what you're doing, God. That's probably something we all think, isn't it, when times are going bad. I don't altogether understand what you're doing, God. But I know enough about you, what? To trust you fully and to praise you and love you no matter what. So for 2016, let's make that aim. No matter what we're going through, that we trust in God and that we carry on praising his name. Shall we pray? Father, we thank you that you are a faithful and powerful God, that you're holy, that you're righteous. You are a great God, Father, and yet there are times when we are afraid. Father, we thank you that you sympathise with our fears. We thank you that you've given us an example in Habakkuk of how to deal with that before you, just to come clean and admit it to you and look to you for restoration. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.